Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Save big money and start your spring project with help from Menards. We offer a huge selection of Bonnie plants, veggies, and herbs to plant at home and grow yourself. Right now, all Bonnie 4.5-inch vegetable and herbs are on sale through May 17th. Head to the Menards Garden Center to get your garden growing. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Morning. You alright? I hope you are. I hope you had a nice day yesterday. Nice evening. Hope you're bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, rocking and raring for the day ahead. Come on, wakey-wakey, eggs and bakey. Let's do this. Let's bow. I'm joined by my producer, Little Harry, as always. How are you this morning, good sir?
Morning, I'm all good.
Disembodied voice of the producer with godlike powers. Okay, you're the glorious band, the chosen few, aren't you? You know who you are. And you're here, so you're the best people on earth. You're watching this live. You're in the chat. You're doing the poll. We've got a poll today, haven't we, Harry? Every day?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. It's live. Yeah? Good. All right. Thanks for joining me. Thanks for joining me. Without you guys, it really, really isn't a thing. It is odd when people in the chat correctly guess what I'm wearing. How do they know? Okay. All right. Let's stop faffing about, shall we? Why are you fannying about? You've come here for the news. What's in the news cycle this morning? What's the legacy corporate mainstream media banging on about? What is that cabal of evil? Frankly, quite evil Fleet Street editors. A cabal of them. They're in cahoots. Of course they are. What are they trying to lie to you by omission about this morning? All right. It's another almost wall-to-wall Starmer Day. Not quite. We've got a little bit of Nige. We've got a little bit of Trump and Winnie the Pooh. And the odd thing here or there. But it's largely a little bit of the radiant Princess of Wales. But it's mainly Keir Starmer and Wes Streeting, Angela Rayner, Andy Burnham. All right. Let's just get into it then. Well, today's set to be the day, then, where the leadership contest is triggered. That's what they're all saying. It might even be shortly after the Bow Show ends. What's the Bow Show? That's the stream you're watching. It's only colloquially known as the Bow Show. Formally, it's Breakfast with Bow. You can buy one of these mugs. It says, morning, you all right on it? So, the headlines are, Wes Prime Minister, and my flair lady. Kate Middleton, the Princess of Wales, Prince William's wife, is in Italy on some sort of tour, you know, royal tour, and she wore some trousers that are a bit flared. She looked radiant, though, of course. All right, let's start. Oh, God, the Metro. Exasperating. Whenever they start with The Guardian or The Metro. Okay, The Metro. Oh, one of the very, very worst things in the world, The Metro. Sort of profoundly disappointing to me, The Metro. That it exists. Right, Health Secretary has his eyes on the prize. Look, there he is, standing in the Commons yesterday. So, yesterday then, just to let you know what happened was, as we told you yesterday morning, the King opened Parliament, And then there was a you know, they always talk, have a little bit of a debate, a normal course of events. They then goes to the Commons and talk about it a bit. But of course, this one, way more MPs than usual packed in there, because it's, everyone knows that it's sort of a crunch moment, potentially, or just is a crunch moment. A classic exchange just says it all, really. Starmer stands up and he's got his little speech. He's talking about government, what the government wants to do next and over the next year, and his legislative agenda, And Kemi, one of the things she says, she just stands up and says, yeah, that's all well and good, but you're not going to be here to do any of it, are you, mate? She didn't say mate. But... so everyone knows we're streeting, standing in the sidelines. Most of it, he was sitting on the front bench. Still sitting on the front bench. Then, later in the day, or was it before the King's Speech? I think it was after the King's Speech. I don't even remember now. Seems like a... yesterday seems like quite a long time ago to me. I don't know about you, but... He did have that one-on-one meeting with the PM at number 10. And it only lasted 15 minutes, 16 minutes. Between going in the front door and coming back out the front door was 16 minutes. So it was less than 16 minutes. He was actually sitting there with Keir Starmer. So, you know, very quick exchange. Obviously no sorts of real deal. There's not time enough for any sort of deal between them to be struck and hammered out or anything like that. So... can only sort of imagine that it was Wes Streeting saying, I'm going to do it. I'm going to formally launch a leadership bid against you. And Keir Starmer saying, okay. Well, I doubt that was his response. Just like that. Completely calm. Completely emotionless. Okay. All right. Now, can you imagine? It's just, you know, the writing's on the wall. Maybe not. Maybe not. We'll talk about that in the show today, all the different possible permutations of what could happen. One of which is that there is a full leadership contest and Keir Starmer wins that. He enters it himself. He doesn't just slink off into the dustbin of history. He enters that race and wins. I mean, it's happened before. When did it happen before? John Major in the 1990s. It was John Redwood. Anyone old enough to remember John Redwood? Yeah, John Major had that. Another guy in the Tory party, John Redwood, MP, launched a leadership bid against John Major. John Major pulled a Starmer there and was like, oh, well, I don't accept it. I've still got the numbers in the party, I think. I mean, it's bad. It looks really bad, doesn't it? It undermines his authority massively and everything. People can say, they didn't then, but people can say, you're a zombie prime minister now. Your party is some sort of zombie party, zombie government. But, nonetheless, you cling on. You cling on to power by your fingernails. It could be that Starmer does that. It's not that crazy of an idea. Apparently he does, or, well, he just does, seem to have a big chunk of the Parliamentary Labour Party behind him still. That's not the whole story, though, is it? It's also about members and unions getting votes in and a say in all this. Okay, we'll get onto that stuff as we go through the show. All right. Health Secretary has his eyes on the prize. Wes Prime Minister. Streeting to launch a challenge for Keir Starmer's job today after number 10 showdown. That was that 16-minute thing. Says allies. Streeting allies. Are you ready for loads and loads of puns to do with the word street or streeting? Not just today, just going forward now. Fleet Street's going to rinse their ability to come up with puns, including the word street in it, aren't they? I think we've got one or two today already. Okay. Drama on day. King revealed new legislation, but Kemi tells PM, you won't be here to deliver it. Right, yeah, there you go. Starmer, of course, look, you can see that little picture of Starmer. Still just sort of pretending it's all good. It's like, it's fine. See the decision he's made. You know, put on a brave front. The tears of a clown. Okay, the sun. Oh, look, you read it. Are you ready for Catherine Middleton, the Princess of Wales's flares? Are you ready for this? It's big news. It's big. It's important stuff. Here we go. There's the radiant Kate Middleton in Italy. Boom. The tabloids love talking about what women wear, don't they? That's just one of their things. My flair lady. All right. Tea in the moustache. The old soup strainer. All right. Labour in civil war. It is basically civil war. Everyone's saying that West Streeting is going to trigger this thing today. They're all saying that. It seems like that's sort of certainly going to happen. That's not just like rumour and scuttlebutt, and it may or may not. It seems like that is definitely going to happen. So over the next month or more, it just will be full-blown civil war in the Labour Party. All right. Civil war. It's war. Happy now. Wes to quit and launch a leader bid. Defiant PM. He must not win. That was one of the things that apparently is coming out of Number 10 and the Starmer camp. That he's decided on some level, on sort of a strategic level, that at all costs, Streeting can't win, can't beat him. Okay. Ed, Andy and Ange to join battle. So yeah, once it's triggered, then the floodgates are open, right? Then the other big beasts can launch their bid as well. Ed Miliband. People are saying, people on the inside of the Westminster bubble, truly on the inside, say Ed Miliband will do it, Angela Rayner will do it, and Andy Burnham will do it. Each one of them needs, I believe each one of them needs 81 MPs to back them. So only two or three could. We'll talk a little bit also later in a minute. We'll talk a little bit about sort of the technical details of the race. How all that works. Because over the last few days, you've noticed that there's like this magic number of 81 to launch a leadership campaign. Well, that was only part of that Catherine West's, what they call it, a stalking horse. It wasn't that, was it? What was the phrase they would use about her? She was just, that was just like a mechanism to launch it. But you would actually need 81 MPs, a block of MPs, all for that one person, whether it's Wes Streeting or Ed Miliband. The question then about Andy and Ange, though. Well, Andy's not an MP. We'll talk about that in a minute as well, don't worry. And Ange, Angela the Fridge Rayner, Big Bird. Well, she is, still embroiled in a HMRC controversy and can't stand. Oh no, wait, breaking news this morning. Angela Rayner says she's been cleared by HMRC after stamp duty row. That's remarkable timing, isn't it? That's really quite remarkable. Look, it's all over the newspapers went to print last night, so didn't have this. It was literally breaking this morning, it seems. Angela Rayner says she has been cleared by HMRC over tax affairs. A remarkable timing, isn't it? Sort of literally on the day, the morning of the day, when she would need to be cleared, she is. And look, Sky News. Rayner settles unpaid tax bill, paving way for leadership challenge. Convenient, isn't it? All right. So she's got this, like, big flat. Well, actually, I don't know how big it is. I assume it's big. On the south coast, down in Brighton and Hove somewhere. 800 grand flat. She's supposed to have paid something in the order of 40 grand stamp duty on it and didn't. She claims that was sort of a genuine mistake. She'd asked, lawyers and things, make sure all my affairs are in order. And according to her, they'd said everything is. Then later it transpired she hadn't paid the stamp duty on it. And apparently HMRC have decided now, yesterday or last night or very early this morning, I don't know, decided that that was a good faith error. That she certainly hasn't broken the law. And actually did nothing intentionally wrong. Oh, okay. the timing, fair enough then, right? If that's the, if that is indeed the case, then fair enough. Right. I mean, she should have known better. Like, how do you not know about stamp duty? But, okay. If you're a grown-up and you own properties and stuff, but, okay. But the timing of it is absolutely remarkable. All right. So that's what's going on with Big Ange. She's a unit, isn't she? All right. And she said, she's been saying that even though she seemed to have backed Burnham only like a week ago, sort of openly, definitely backed him, like, Andy's the guy. She's now saying, no, not necessarily. I've got no pact with him, formal pact with him. I've got no formal pact with Wes Streeting or anything. In other words, and now I'm cleared by HMRC. In other words, she can completely launch her own leadership bid entirely in her own right, should she get 81 MPs to sort of back that. Street Fighter. Oh, there you go. They've started with the street wordplay, the puns with the word street or streeting in it. There you go. Street Fighter. He looks like a... Right, it looks like Ken. Ken's let himself go. Ken's had a few too many Frey Bentos. And Ken out of Street Fighter? Yeah, no, okay. Tough crowd. Okay. The times, the venerable times. Joan Collins still got it at 92. I doubt it. Streeting prepares to quit ahead of number 10 challenge. So that's what they're all saying. Starmer warns of plunge into chaos. That's his line, isn't it? That's his thing. Don't do this because it will just mean chaos for the party in the country. Again, we've said the last few days. Don't need to labour the point anymore. You're the chaos, Sir Queer. And what's going on with that trial with those Ukrainian boys and the fires they set? I heard they pleaded innocent. Politically mainstream media saying nothing about it. I don't know if there's a full D notice, D order, whatever they call it, where they're legally not allowed to. Didn't John Wong of Vox Populi been going down? I have to get in touch with him. I will get in touch with him. John? All right, mate. Let me know. Have you been in court? Let us know. I'll get in touch with you today. Try to find out what's going on there. Find out if we're legally even allowed to talk about it. Oh, of course, the legacy mainstream media just utterly, utterly blanking it. Okay. Health Secretary seeks backing of 81 Labour MPs. All right, so we actually, it's just a moment we could delve a little bit into the details. There was a story, was it in the Mail or the Express? Oh, God, I should have had it lined up properly. Where they talk about like some of the details of it. Okay, I won't spend more than a few seconds trying to find that. I'll just tell you about it. What it is that the Parliamentary Labour Party, as well as members, as well as unions, will have a vote on this thing, and they will narrow it down. If one person gets 50% of all those votes, those people's first votes, you get a first, second, and third vote, I believe. If one person gets 50%, just 50% of all those votes, that's it, it's over, they win. That person has won. If no one person gets 50%, then the person who comes last out of all of those is done, they're out of the race. And all the people whose first vote went to them, their second vote gets counted for the rest. And so on until it's whittled down to just two. Okay. So, I don't know if that's needlessly complicated or what, but that's how they do it. And then the members get a vote in when it's whittled down to the last two, the members get a vote. And then, so that's sort of a fairly whole different dynamic then at that point, isn't it? Because whoever's most popular with the membership, the normal hundreds and hundreds of thousands, tens and tens of thousands, of Labour Party members, they mostly like Andy Burnham. Will Andy Burnham even be in that last two? Will he be even in the race at all? Talk about that in a moment. So, there you go. So, Ange can enter. Wes Streeting can enter. If they get 81. Now, it's a massive majority, but there's only 400-odd MPs. Right? Starmer gets to automatic entry. As a sitting leader, he automatically is in the race. Okay, so, with the best win in the world, you could only have four other people at absolute maximum. So let's count Streeting as one. Yeah. Let's count the fridge as one. People are saying Miliband. He's probably the next biggest name that everyone is saying. And I think I'm pretty sure he's formally said as well this morning, or yesterday, reported this morning, that if a leadership election should be triggered, that he, Ed Miliband, would throw his hat into the ring. So that's it. So only leaves one more spot. And what is that, Andy Burnham's spot? I don't know. So there's no room really for any others. You know, a few other names have been bandied around, haven't they? Shabana Mahmood is one, but. And that's assuming, and all of that is assuming, that the rest of the Labour MPs will line up into like four distinct camps like that. They probably won't, will they? I wouldn't have thought they would. And what's really going on here, really, isn't it? Is it a battle for the heart and soul of the Labour Party? What the Labour Party is, what it wants to be, how left it's going to be. Right? So Streeting is considered on the right of the party. Starmer is considered on the right of the party. Ed Miliband, not so much. He's considered a bit more left, isn't he? Not the hard left, not as much left as some would like. You know, like Jeremy Corbyn. John McDonnell types. They truly were the left of the party. Angela Rayner to the left of Starmer, but not crazily, crazily left. Andy Burnham considered to the left, but not the full-blown, swivel-eyed, psycho left. But right. So, as I was saying yesterday, if the stars are beginning to align for Wesley Streeting, everyone on the left of the party, most vocal ones that are trying to get rid of Starmer in the first place, triggering all this stuff, they're like, oh, wait, no, that's not what we wanted. We didn't want Wes Streeting. If anything, we'll try and coup him out of power faster than Liz Truss. So there's sort of some of the headlines saying they're scrambling to get a candidate, whether it would be Ed Miliband or now Rayner. Now the fridge is free to stand. They would much rather Ed or Ange over Wes, wouldn't they? It's full-blown civil war. If you're a Labour MP at the moment, there's lots to do and talk about, and deals to be struck, and you know all of them are ambitious. You wouldn't really be an MP, would you? Sometimes MPs are non-ambitious for power. Sometimes that is the case. Nearly always not, though. Nearly always you're in it because you want a top job. You want power. A little bit more money. Power. A Secretary of State's chauffeur-driven car. Right? So they're all wrangling, like, who can I back? Who can I get one of the big beasts to promise me a job in government should they win? It's a horrible game, really. I think it's funny. It's all fun and games, really. But there'll be all sorts of deals and counter-deals and machinations behind the scenes. All of them, like a little hive of ants, trying to get the best for themselves. Okay, The Guardian. Mm. Makes me sick. The Guardian. Okay. Something about Olivia Colman. Don't care about Olivia Colman. Streeting on manoeuvres, ready to launch a leadership challenge today. That's one thing they like saying at the moment. They're on manoeuvres. And all the different allegories, metaphors, similes about war. A lot of them are to do with World War One, for example, at the moment, for some reason. I've heard the Schlieffen Plan mentioned once or twice. like the trenches. One of the papers, one of the headlines I saw earlier was that, like, yesterday, the King's speech was like that winter of 1914 when the English and Germans had a football, it wasn't a full football match, but they kicked a ball about in no man's land on Christmas Eve. Was it Christmas Day? I.e. just like a lull in the fighting. That was what yesterday was. And now the war's back on. Yeah, weirdly, sort of manoeuvres and lots of World War One imagery about all of this. All right. Health Secretary in race to win over enough MPs to trigger contest. Right, so what you might have seen over the last few days, you know, that number over the weekend sticking up, there's 53 said they'll do it, 67 will do it, it's now 85 they'll do it. Well, they won't all have been, or I would have thought few of those would have been Wes Streeting partisans. So Wes Streeting needs to build a block of his own, 81. He will have done it. He can't launch a bid without that. So we can only assume that he has, in fact, got those numbers. All right. So it's on. That's the key thing. If Wes Streeting has got 81 of purely Wes Streeting partisans ready to rock and roll, all right, it's on. It's on. Move Sparks scramble on left of party to find candidate to oppose him. Yeah, right. So who they going with? They've sort of put this thing in motion, but Wes isn't their guy. Well, at this point, it would be Ange or Miliband, won't it? Ed or Ange? Angela Rayner is a moron, full-blown at a glance. Listen to her for more than 5 seconds, you realise she's a moron. And Ed Miliband's already had a chance, hasn't he? He's already a failed leader. And not failed in the way that he's still a titan of politics. It's not like Donald Trump loses an election, comes back, wins even harder. Right? It's not like William Gladstone winning, losing, winning again. 4 times he was Prime Minister, in and out of office. Every time his gravitas wasn't destroyed. Not that. Ed Miliband's not that. He had his shot. He went to the public and the public rejected him. Are they going to go with Ed? And of course, he's obviously like a really weird freak. If anything, he's a weirder guy than Starmer, isn't he? I think so. That's what a crazy thing to say. How is that even possible? But he's truly like freakish, I believe. He's like up there with Zach Polensky, real name David Paulden, for being just like weirdo. The other thing about Wes Streeting is, I don't know how the Labour MPs backing him aren't taking this into account. I guess they are taking it into account, but not enough. That he will lose his seat in the next general election. If I was a Labour MP, and even if I liked Wes Streeting, even if I like knew he would give me a senior position in government should he become Prime Minister, I would still be like, wait, zoom out a moment, take a breath, zoom out for a moment. You're going to lose your seat in the next election. We can't have a leader, a Prime Minister, can we? Who's going to lose his seat at the next election? Surely that's sort of one of the prerequisites of being a Prime Minister, that you're in at least a relatively safe seat. At least, at the very least, that. Not one where your majority is like 600 odd, is it? 500 or 600 odd? And in a constituency where the support for Labour dwindles away moment by moment because it's packed full with more and more foreigners. Ilford, in East London. I know Ilford well. It's near-ish where I grew up. Been to Ilford loads of times. Travelled through Ilford thousands and thousands of times in my life. Travelling from Essex to London to go to university and to go to work for 20 odd years. I know Ilford. It's a foreign enclave. Whether it's Bangladeshis, Pakistanis or Indians, it's one of those places where the Labour vote is just about clinging on. Just clinging on. And it will have evaporated by this point. And with the unpopularity of Labour in general, there's no way. I don't think. I don't think there's any way he wins at the next election, you see. So maybe don't make him the leader of your party? Then that's Labour politicians for you, or all politicians, all MPs. I guess all they're really thinking is, if he gets in, I might get a decent job for 2 years. That's it. That's as far as their thinking goes then, is it? Right. But in your career, for 2 years, ahead of the party and the country. Gross, isn't it? It's kind of gross. I would like Parliament to be filled with every man jack of them. They're putting the present and the future, even the long-term future of the country, ahead of everything, ahead of personal ambition, far ahead of personal gain and ambition, far, far ahead of it. It's the number one thing on their list, and the next thing down is a million miles away from that. But that's just not what they're like, is it? Hardly any of them are like that. All right, something slightly different this morning. One of the other stories we've got. Nige is on the front pages a fair bit this morning. We did this story, didn't we? We covered it, I guess it was last week when it first popped up on the front pages. Now it's a fair bit on the front pages again. Farage faces watchdog inquiry into £5 million gift. So, quickly to recap you on that. Relatively shortly before he became an MP, much less than 12 months before he became an MP, because remember he only entered the race in Clacton, what was it, a month or two, a few weeks before the actual general election, quite close to the general election, because he just saw that the numbers there were good for reform. So the candidate they'd already selected with him, just turf him out in his ear. Just destroy one more career, doesn't matter. He just saw that he could. A few, not too long before that, a Thailand-based but British guy, what's his name, Christopher Harborne, is it? Christopher Harborne? Yeah. He just gave Nigel £5 million. Now, this guy is, I don't know, philanthropist is quite the right word. But he dishes out money all over the place. Like, he's given millions and millions of pounds to the Brexit party and reform. Like, something to the tune of 20-odd million at various points. I think he did give millions, a few million pounds to the Tory party as well. Some say, I think Ben Habib says, he might have given Boris Johnson personally £1 million. I'm not sure about that, but anyway. This guy throws out millions of pounds here and there like it's candy. Well, not quite, but if he's a billionaire, the odd £5 million is not a giant amount, is it? But anyway, he just gave Nige £5 million. All right, there's nothing illegal about that. Nigel says he spent it all on his personal security. Again, nothing wrong with that. In fact, good. Despite all the amount of shade I throw at Nigel, I don't wish him any physical harm, far from it. That'd be terrible. Of course. So, all well and good so far. The story so far. Billionaire gives Nige £5 million. Be nice with it. Just a friend of yours just gives you £5 million. Spends it on security. Well and good. Okay. Problem is, when Nigel became an MP, he was supposed to declare that. Now, this is a bit what the wrangling is about, the inquiry will be about, is that Nigel and Reform say he didn't have to declare that. Other people saying, no, you did, though. You did have to. So that's what the controversy is. Nigel just says, look, it was a personal gift. It was before I was an MP. I've done nothing wrong. Other people saying, no, everything that is relevant, £5 million is relevant. Anything that was relevant up to something like 12 months before you became an MP, you have to, the rules say you have to declare that. And he didn't. So the wrangling is over that. Not whether he did receive £5 million or not, that's not in question. Nigel's not denying that. It's just, okay, so. And then the other question, really, perhaps the most salient question about it all, really, is did Christopher Harborne expect anything in return for that? Was it truly just a gift between friends? And there was nothing unsaid off the record about what Mr. Harborne might have expected in return. Was it just pure altruism for Nigel's safety that he gave him that money? Or did he want or expect something else in return? I mean, one thing some people are saying, a little bit scurrilous, but hey, it's the Bow Show. I'm not scared about saying something a little bit scurrilous. That Harborne has got some sort of cryptocurrency or some sort of coin of his own or some sort of crypto coin that he promotes, something like that, I don't know. And that Nige does promote that a fair bit. Again, not necessarily anything illegal in that, in and of itself. But it just does beg the question, why didn't Nigel, though, declare it? Because if he just declared it, then his enemies, Nigel's enemies, have got nothing to say. So why didn't you just declare it? I don't know. Because that's what a lot of them do. Like David Lammy, right? He takes loads of money off all sorts of people all the time. But he just declares it. Or was it George Brown? Someone called George Brown just gave him 50 grand one time. But Lammy declared it. So it's on record. And when people do a Freedom of Information or whatever, they can see it's there. And then you might actually ask David Lammy, who's this George Brown fella? Like, what was that 50 quid for? Did he expect anything in return for that? At that point, David Lammy can just shut you down and go, well, no, it's a private thing. I don't need to tell you anything about it. I don't need to tell you anything about that person or what he might have wanted in return for it. I've declared it by the letter of the law. That's all I need to do. End of story. Nigel could have done that exact thing with this £5 million if he wanted, but he didn't. He didn't declare it. So, all right. It may just be the tiniest storm in the tiniest of teacups that comes to absolutely nothing. It might end with Nigel being recalled, his seat being recalled, and him not being an MP anymore. Who knows? Depends what the watchdog inquiry decides about it. I mean, Nigel seemed a bit tetchy. I see a clip where Beth Rigby was asking him about it, and he got all leggy really quickly. Really quickly, Nigel did. I didn't really want to, he sort of ended the interview basically. So just having a general pop at Sky News rather than just answering the questions. Okay. Nigel does get quite eggy quite quickly, doesn't he, these days, it seems. If something comes up he doesn't like, he's just... Better to be like that than be like really, really weak, isn't it, I think, like Ed Miliband. All right. The Telegraph, the Daily Telegraph, there's the Radiant, Catherine Middleton, Kate Middleton, Princess of Wales, looking radiant. Miliband to Vite Street for number 10, Health Secretary expected to resign today and spark race for top job as Starmer refuses to go quietly. Fair enough. Starmer to false EU laws on Britain with new Henry VIII powers. We've talked about that before, haven't we, on Breakfast with Beau? Because in the King's Speech yesterday, should we quickly just do a quick few moments about that? In the King's Speech, he said loads of things. Talked about ID cards again. Talked about sort of the safety of our communities, the scourge of anti-Semitism. Specifically talked about anti-Semitism, but when it came to Southport, he just talked about violence, just general violence. Okay. Talked about getting closer and closer to the EU. Of course, these are the government's words, not King Charles's words. They write a speech for him and he simply reads it out. It's not actually the King's views in any way. It really isn't. And the Henry VIII powers, so-called Henry VIII powers, to get through Parliament legislation, bringing us closer to Europe. Because they would have to do that because so many of the MPs, including some Labour ones, would vote against it if they could. All right, the Eye paper. I'll quickly read the blurb, and that'll be the last. We'll talk about it today, because it'll be ongoing. But this, as always, the blurb on the front page of the Eye paper sort of says everything you need to know. Streeting set to resign and will challenge PM. Andy Burnham will also attempt to join the contest after his team identified an MP ready to stand aside to the iPaper lands. Dun dun dun, who's that? Nobody knows, except it's Afzal Khan. It's probably Labour MP in the Greater Manchester area, isn't it? Afzal Khan. He's like a Burnham partisan. A Burnham man. He'll be prepared to pretend there's something wrong with his health or that he just wants to spend more time with his family or something. Trigger a by-election. So a bit more on the Burnham thing. There's not enough time, is there? Even if that Afzal Khan stands down today, there probably isn't enough time for that by-election to take place. Andy Burnham to win it, although there's no guarantee of that. And then enter this leadership contest. There's not enough time for all of that. Unless the NEC, the ruling body of the Labour Party, put back the actual leadership contest. It's been triggered. But the final votes, we won't do the final votes for like 3 months, 4 months from now. Giving Burnham enough time to do all of that. That could happen. That could happen. But remember, the NEC is controlled. Like, there's not that many people in it, is there? Like 8 people, 12 people in it? Including the Prime Minister and everything. And they blocked Burnham before, didn't they? For the Galton and Denton thing. They came to the conclusion. I think there's only one or two people that didn't do that. They nearly all, almost unanimously said Burnham shouldn't stand in Galton Denton. Some say that the feeling within the NEC has completely changed now. Maybe that's true. Other people say, no, it's not. It's the same. It'll be the same thing. If the NEC allow him to even stand, and if the NEC allow the final leadership contest to take place in 3 months from now, 4 months from now, maybe they will. It seems unlikely to me, but maybe they will. I don't actually know what's in the minds of those few people. You know, Starmer's one of them, or one or two of Starmer arch loyalists are in there as well. They will, you can only imagine, try and block anything like that to the ends of the earth. We shall see. There's so many different ways this thing could break over the coming days and weeks. So many different ways, so many different things that might play out. But okay, apparently Burnham is going to get one of the guys that Afzal Khan, step down. Wouldn't it be so funny? I would love it. Love it. If they go for that, Afzal Khan steps down, by election, the NEC do select Burnham, and then he loses the by election. That would be so funny. Apart from anything else, not just that it screws Labour and it screws Andy Burnham. I don't like Andy Burnham. Andy Burnham's a douchebag. He's an arch Blairite. He's exactly the sort of person that has ruined this country since 1997. Exactly. It is him. It's people like him. Handful of people like him. He's a scumbag. Socialist. Scum. It would be so funny. Because it would annoy the left, at least the soft left, of the Labour Party. All their plans ruined. It's Burnham or nothing. Burnham is the great hope. He's going to come and lead us to victory in 2029. And he can't even win a seat in Manchester. That would be so funny. I would love that. Okay, let's carry on. Wes Streeting will resign. Apparently he just will. And trigger a leadership challenge to Keir Starmer as early as today, and I say. MP intends to fight Health Secretary in contest. Seems like Keir Starmer is set to do that. To do a John Major. Could win it. He could. He really could. Burnham tells Labour MPs he is, quote, ready to go. Are you? With route back to Westminster, although faces obstacles. Yeah, quite a few obstacles, Andy. And why are you wearing eyeliner, bro? I don't think he is. I think he's just got unnaturally thick eyelashes. Sort of looks like he's wearing eyeliner, though, doesn't it? Andy has found a seat. It might not be winnable. Yeah, is there a safe Labour seat? Is there any such thing? I mean, there are a few. Pretty much, kind of, but it may not be winnable, yeah. This Labour government is highly unpopular, isn't it? Highly, 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 highly unpopular. Is this Labour government less popular than the Tory government towards the end, during those Rishi years? Possibly, quite possibly. I mean, Starmer's less popular than Rishi Sunak, isn't he? Most unpopular Prime Minister of all time. Quick contest may see Ed Miliband as candidate. If the left of the party can't get Andy, you're like, they're probably going to go for Ed Miliband. Or if the fridge, the absolute unit that is Big Bird, Angela Rayner, if she can corral enough MPs, it'll be Ed or Ange, won't it? There's not enough time for Burnham. He needed to have won that, needed to have been selected and won that Galton and Denton thing. Then things lined up for him, but he didn't. So, who knows though? The Labour Party might just contrive it to make all that happen. Maybe. Feels like a long shot. I wouldn't put money on Andy Burnham at this point. I feel like you're just throwing money away if you bet on him. There's too many obstacles. Okay. Streeting and PM held a 16-minute meeting at number 10 to discuss the Health Secretary's concerns. His concerns. I always think that's funny. Concerns. HR, your boss brings you in and is firing you. It starts by saying, we have concerns. Some concerns have been raised. Yeah, okay. Labour centrists fear Streeting would lose to a left winger and lead to manifesto being dropped. Oh no. Labour manifestos might not get carried out. Oh no. King tells MPs that UK threatened by a, quote, dangerous and volatile world at state opening of Parliament. Yeah, all right. All right, mate. The Financial Times, let's whip through it then, get a few more stories under our belt before we start rounding out the show. Starmer, okay, the Financial Times, same stuff. Look, bit of Nigel there. Bit of Nigel and his £5 million. All right, The Express, it's a good paper. The same old thing. They're calling him a zombie. Keir's a zombie. He's already dead. He's the living dead. Finally, a move to bring down Zombie Keir. Okay. And the Radiant Princess of Wales. There we go. All right. The Mail. Pure slop. Streeting to ignite Labour. Day of Anarchy. It's a day of anarchy. All right. You get it. The Star. Larry the Cat. Larry the Downing Street Cat. Here we go again. He says. The Cat says. Downing Streeting. That's unacceptably poor to me. If you do a really good bit of wordplay, okay, I'll give you some credit. But that is super poor. Downing Streeting. What? What? Who came up with that? At the Daily Star bullpen of writers throwing around ideas. Somebody says Downing Streeting. And the power players, the editors, with the final say, decided, yeah, that's good. Yeah. Print that. The Mirror appears. Oh, the Mirror puts Nige front and centre. Big old Hypnotoad there. Hypnotoad not looking happy. Oh, there's a blow. Have you suffered a blow in your never-ending campaign to contain the real right, to contain actual nativists that actually want to save their country? They actually want to try and reduce the number of assaults and sex crimes committed against our women. Oh, your campaign to contain all of that has suffered a little bit of a blow, has it, Hypnotoad? Farage £5 million sleaze probe. Okay, all right. They're the front pages. There you go. They're the front pages. All right, let's do our poll. What did we do on our poll today? Harry, you'll have to bring it up on my screen if you don't mind for me, sir. Engage. Oh, I quite liked it yesterday. It's just as a palate cleanser. Something not to do with politics. Just like 2 minutes, 3 minutes talking about that. It's a little bit of a break. I quite like that. So some people in the chat saying, what slop kind of poll is this? And other people saying, oh, I love this poll. So can't please everyone. I quite like that it was just something else. Just something completely different. So today, although that was really out of left field, wasn't it? Talking about the turtles. This time, at least it's something a bit topical. It's a little bit in the news. We asked you guys, are you excited about the new Christopher Nolan adaptation of The Odyssey? And it's a massive win for the no vote. 88% of you, over 1,200 votes, knocking up to 1,300 votes, 88% of you say no. Yeah, I would be clicking no. 4% of you say yes, and 8% of you say a little bit. So even if I count that, what, 12% of you say somewhere between yes and maybe. 88%. Stonking win. If it was a national referendum on something, you'd claim a mandate for all time, wouldn't you? Because, of course, I love the Odyssey, Homer's epic poem, the Odyssey. The Iliad and the Odyssey should be, in my opinion, call me old-fashioned, should be the cornerstone of your education. It used to be, that sort of thing, used to be. I'm talking like 17th, 18th, 19th century. If you had a first-class education. I remember first reading the Iliad and the Odyssey at A level when I was like 17, 18. Gone back and reread both, listened to them on audiobook as well. I mean, the Lotus Eaters is a reference to the Odyssey, isn't it? There's Odysseus and his men land on the Isle of the Lotus Eaters at one point. Okay, I love the Odyssey. It's great. Been meaning to do some long-form content with Stelios about it at some point. We will do that. So to see some of the things coming about this Christopher Nolan film. Christopher Nolan, well, he's made loads of good films, hasn't he? But this looks poor on a number of levels. Won't even get into it here. Could probably talk about it for an hour, probably quite easily. Apart from anything else, didn't they race swap Helen of Troy? Oh, don't worry about it, bro. Helen of Troy's a fictional character anyway. Who cares if they cast a black woman? Come on. She's literally described as like white-armed or something, isn't she? Depends what the translation is, of course. Or there's some rumour, I'm not sure if it's 100% confirmed or true, but there's some rumour that they cast that Elliot Page as Achilles. That would be weird if that's true. Elliot Page. What was the woman's original name? Her dead name? Harry? What was she called?
Give me a second.
Maybe the chat. Have I got the chat here? Can I see the chat? Yeah. What was Elliot Page's original name? Can't even remember now. That woman to male transgender woman thing. Ellen. Oh, was it just Ellen Page? Yeah, they're all saying Ellen. Okay, so Ellen Page as Achilles. If you don't know, Achilles is supposed to be the most badass warrior in the world, perhaps in the cosmos. Gods are afraid to fight him. Giants are afraid to fight him. He's supposed to be just an unparalleled warrior when it comes to swordplay, throwing your spear, whatever. He's supposed to be the most badass man on the planet. You're going to cast Elliot Page. Ellen Page. Really? Really? Elliot Page looks like... If you're going to be kind enough to say she looks like a man in any way, a male in any way, very, very diminutive. You can't change, like, the shape of your skull and chin and neck, can you? She doesn't look like she doesn't look male in any way. But it's the kindest possible thing. She looks like a prepubescent boy, doesn't she? Not Achilles. I mean, Brad Pitt was Achilles in that film, Troy. For me, they should have cast someone much better. They should have cast like Big Dave Bautista or something. Should have cast a true, someone who's like a hulking mass. Like a physically intimidating person. Like John Cena or something, I don't know. Brock Lesnar, something like that. They're not good actors, but you know, you get the point. Not Ellen Page. Ellen Page is Achilles. Yeah, all right, no wonder it's just ticked down. 87% of you say no, not looking forward to it. Yeah, I won't go to the cinema to see it. Eventually, once it's on TV, and I'm clicking around one evening and it's on, I'll be like, oh, okay, go on. Go on then, I'll watch it, okay. Or I might watch a really long review by like Critical Drinker or something. Or Nerdrotic. One of those guys. Or maybe Mr. H. Don't make me watch it, Nate. Don't make me watch it. Eventually, when it's on TV, I'll give it a whirl. All right. That's as far as I'm prepared to go. But I completely agree with you there. Me and the Glorious Band, the Chosen Few, on the same page on that one. Christopher Nolan, you've been deliberately subversive. Why are you doing that? Why are you trying to, like, ruin a piece of our Western heritage? Why are you doing that? Who's told you to do that? And for what purpose, ultimately? All right. It's already 5-2. The only other big main story today is that the Donald is in China meeting Winnie the Pooh, isn't he? It was all very cordial between them when he first got there. One thing that was quite interesting, I thought, is I'll just mention this before we go into this day in history. Xi greets Trump with ominous warning about risk of war between US and China. And he's supposed to have said, Winnie the Pooh is supposed to have said, beware the Thucydides trap. Interesting. Anyone who doesn't know, Thucydides was an ancient Greek, classical Greek historian who wrote about the Peloponnesian War. That is the 30-year-long war between Athens and Sparta in, the 5th century BC. The world's two, kind of, the Grecian world's two superpowers, Athens and Sparta. For no particularly good reason, other than sort of suspicion for each other, and thinking that somewhere down the line the other one's going to preemptively attack me, so I better attack him first, that sort of thing. And ultimately ruined both. I mean, Sparta in the end wins the Peloponnesian War, but it fatally wounds Sparta in various ways. The idea, Thucydides and the Peloponnesian War, the idea that you've got two superpowers that needn't go to war with each other, did. Bit surprised that Winnie the Pooh decided to reference Thucydides there. I doubt Trump has read Thucydides. He might have done. I doubt he knows anything about the Peloponnesian War, Trump. He might do. Maybe I'm being just unkind there. Maybe I'm being a snob. All right. If we have a look at on this day in history, it's very nearly 9 a.m. Should we have a look at what on this day in history, what happened down through the centuries, what happened of note on the 14th of May? All right, the Constitution of the United States. On this day in 1789, delegates gather in Philadelphia to draw up the Constitution of the United States. I'm Anglo-American, aren't I? My dad is an American. He didn't come over here until the 1970s. Born and raised in Oregon, go Ducks. Didn't come over here until the 70s. I was born in 1981. Got loads of cousins, a few uncles, loads of cousins in the United States. One of my ancestors, Francis Langhorne Dade, is the Major Francis Langhorne Dade who got all his men killed by Indians in Florida. And now the Dade County in Florida, is named after one of my ancestors. So I'm Anglo-American. Okay, all right. I happen to think that the Constitution of the United States is a truly remarkable document. Truly remarkable thing. A lot of English people wouldn't say that. I think it is. Largely penned by what? It was Jefferson, Franklin, a bit of John Adams, Madison was involved. I think it's a remarkable thing. I really do. That a republic like the United States has been as incredibly successful as it has been since the late 18th century. Remarkably successful for a republic. Like a history record-breaking example of how a republic can work. A lot of it's to do with the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, of course. There you go, I've got long-form content all about Washington, all about Jefferson. I will get round to doing one on John Adams. And Madison, probably, at some point. Okay, the Constitution. Good stuff. On this day in 1796, English country doctor Edward Jenner, administers his revolutionary cowpox-based vaccine for smallpox in Berkeley, Gloucestershire. Yeah, great stuff. Great stuff. Again, I said before, didn't I? The pox, various types of pox, have been a blight on humanity since day one. God knows how many millions of people have died in misery and pain. How many families ruined by the pox. Thank God we don't live in a world where that's a thing now. Like, your kid at some point will get the pox and there's a decent chance it kills them. Just hope it doesn't. Hope it doesn't scar their face for the rest of their life. Hideously. You go through life, you're basically completely fine, healthy. You get the pox and you die. That we don't live in that world is an incredible thing. Thank you, Dr. Jenner. Thank you. Okay. On this day in 1804, Lewis and Clark, Meriwether Lewis and William Clark's expedition sets out from St. Louis for the Pacific coast, commissioned by Thomas Jefferson. Yeah, the Lewis and Clark expedition out west. Thinking about heading out California way. Yes, the great. I always find it interesting to remember how recently in history the United States properly, formally, legally extended all the way to the West Coast, to the Pacific Ocean. You might think, oh, some people, I do think, often I feel, that the United States from 1776 is stretches out to the West Coast. No, not even close. Look, 1804, during the presidency of Thomas Jefferson, they're still sending one of the first expeditions out to the West Coast. Lewis and Clark wasn't the first one by a long stretch, but still. I mean, Spaniards were going there centuries ago. Drake sails up the West Coast of America in the 16th century, but nonetheless, still you've had the Louisiana Purchase, and still the West is more or less not exactly uncharted, but it's not formally claimed by the United States or anything like that. Fascinating, interesting to me. Okay. On this day, in 1853, land surveyor, newspaper publisher and inventor Gail Borden patents his process for condensed milk. I know nothing. I don't know any real details about that, I'm afraid. One of the few times where this, on this day in history.com, has out-history-broed me. Fair enough. That's quite obscure, though, isn't it? Who really cares about the history of condensed milk, really? I'm interested in things, like, very obscure, really. Crop rotation in the 13th century. But condensed milk, even I am not particularly interested in that. All right, on this day, 1948, David Ben-Gurion declares Israeli independence from British administration, and Golda Meir, one of the later prime ministers, is one of the signatories. Good stuff, good for you. Good. All right, on this day, 1955, Warsaw Pact is signed by the Soviet Union, Albania, Bulgaria, Czechoslovakia, East Germany, Hungary, Poland and Romania. That's interesting to know, isn't it? In 1955, the Warsaw Pact. Again, you might think, you could probably be forgiven for thinking that the Warsaw Pact was something that came into existence very soon after the war. You know, that's post-Stalin, isn't it? 1955. Stalin dies in what, 52, 53? He's certainly dead by 55, isn't he? You would have thought that the Warsaw Pact might have begun in the autumn of 1945, or some point, you know, maybe like we talked about the Munich airlift the other day, didn't we? Sometime during Stalin's reign. No, it's as late as 1955. Interesting to note. All right. And on this day in 2024, Google unveils new generative AI feature at its annual conference, forcing users to view AI overviews at the top of search results, despite them being factually incorrect 60% of the time. Never rely on an AI search. Don't rely on it. Just do some reading of your own a bit. You can just use Google in the normal fashion. Click around from a few websites. Have a look at who's written the thing. Don't just rely. Don't just go, at Grok, is this true? Don't do that. ChatGPT, what is this right or wrong? It's wrong loads. I don't use it. I really don't. I really, really don't use it. It's wrong loads of times. One example, classic example. Not too long ago on Twitter, someone put up an image of Alan Rickman from Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. And someone else goes, at Grok, who's that? They should probably know. How do you not know Alan Rickman? How do you not know Prince of Thieves? And Grok just gave the wrong answer, just said someone else. And people were like, no, try again. And it tried like 5, 6, 7 times. And in the end, it said, oh, you tell me then, I don't know. It's like, it's a really famous film, really, really famous actor. How do you not, how does your programming, your algorithm, whatever it is, your language model, have you got access to more or less everything? How can you not figure that out? It's Alan Rickman from Prince of Thieves, bro. I've seen it just factually get things wrong loads. And then when you really press it, it was like, oh yeah, no, sorry, I got that wrong. Or I made it up. I thought that's what you wanted to hear. I thought that was right, but I was wrong, sorry. Like, don't. It's only a large language model and it's completely fallible. Completely and utterly fallible. It's really annoying on Twitter when people ask Grok something, it proves their point, it's wrong, but then they start gloating that that's the end of the story. It's a slam dunk, that's the end of the discussion. It's like, oh my God. Oh my God. Yeah. I did a tweet just last night. I've said a number of times, I would John Connor the hell out of all AI. I'd destroy it. I'd have a world without it. It's going to be a detriment to our civilization and humanity, in my opinion. I would John Connor it to hell. Having said that, it's certainly going to have a few good things about it, right? If it helps sort of medical research, for example, something like that, then good. In some very limited senses. And use it to map the stars more efficiently or something like that. Use it to translate all cuneiform or something. Maybe. Okay. All right. Maybe I wouldn't John Connor it 100% off the face of the earth, but just people using it all the time to get their knowledge, to get their facts from. Ridiculous. Terrible. All right. Should we have a look at our Rumble Rants and Super Chats? Should we do that? Last few minutes of the show. All right. Rumble Rants. Global Church History in at number one there. What's he done? Just gone 6:30 in the morning. He wants his belt back. He wants the title. And new jet lag. Yesterday, someone called Jetlag nicked the belt off of him. Nicked the title. Hipped him to the post. He's got it back. Global Church History. And new. The two-time. Global Church History says, today in 841 AD, it would be, the Vikings under Askier begin their Seine raids. The River Seine. It's interesting, isn't it? Yeah, very interesting. Because, of course, the Normans were Scandinavian. They were Vikings, essentially, weren't they? A little bit after that, you've got King Rollo. There's also a 60s or 70s cartoon called King Rollo, isn't there? Really quaint. Really nice. Sort of Mr. Ben style cartoon. King Rollo. Love it. The real King Rollo was a badass Viking marauder. He'd rape and pillage and all sorts of stuff. The real King Rollo. Anyway, he's the descendant of the Normans. Like, King Rollo's a descendant of, or rather, William the Conqueror is a descendant of Rollo. But the Vikings, yeah, pillaging all the coast of where modern-day Holland and Belgium is. Of course, yeah, it makes sense, doesn't it? And then down the River Seine to Paris. They sacked Paris at one point, didn't they? I believe. As early as 841, they were doing that. So it's before there's a France, really. Right, that's in sort of the Merovingian age. That'll be after Charlemagne, though, won't it? It's after Charlemagne. Still, that part of the land was... They were Frankish, not truly, truly French. It's a bit complicated in the when you use, stop saying Frankish and start saying France. But they're like Frankish kings, really, aren't they? That bit of the land that becomes Normandy was called Neustria. This is all off the top of my head. It was like Neustria, Frankish kingdom of Neustria. Vikings take it over, turn it into Normandy, start speaking French, start becoming Christian, start giving themselves names like William and Richard rather than Askier. Interesting, fascinating stuff, though. Fascinating stuff. And then you also say, on this day in 1608, the Protestant Union was founded, Ulhausen. Yeah, it was a moment in time, wasn't it? We're in the middle of the wars of religion in Europe at that point. Well, not in the middle, near the beginning-ish. There's wars for the heart and soul of Germany. Well, all of Europe, but Germany, really. The Protestant Union. It didn't last all that long, did it, that Protestant Union? It's just one of the Holy Roman Emperors had gone back to Catholicism. Well, never left formally, but it's complicated. God, that's a really complicated part of history, that is, global church history. That's a labyrinth of history stuff there, to even begin to unpick all of that. God, so one of the Holy Roman Emperors had dialed Catholicism up a bit more. And as a response to that, you've got the Protestant Union. Both Lutheran and Calvinist. Got, to begin to talk about that bit of history, you can only scratch the surface. Otherwise, I'd need to sit here and talk for 2 hours. All right. Interesting, though, of course. And the second and only other rumble rant this morning is from Caleb Knight, who says, the Odyssey musical by some guy on internet is already a better adaptation than Nolan's. Oh, I didn't know there was a musical, even just an internet one, of the Odyssey. That's all right, I'd watch it. There's been loads of adaptations of the Odyssey over the years. None of them are brilliant, in my opinion. But maybe I'll Google that, have a look at that. Yeah, this thing with Matt Damon doesn't look good. I know it's like a history nerd thing to say, but like a fedora wearing actually point, but like it looks like from the small amounts I've seen in the trailers, bits and bobs, the costumes are all wrong. They're just for a start, just that they're all wrong. Some tiny little clips I've seen, the dialogue sounds dumb. All right. They're the only two rumble rants we've got this morning. What about the YouTube super chats, Harry? Engage. There are. Okay, great. What have we got? Oh, God, there's a fair few. More than a dozen. Let's whip through them a bit. We've got AC1D Helm says, on this day, World War II RAF bombed Jerry for the first time. Oh, is that right? That's interesting. For the very first time. We've been... be 1940, right? Because 1939 war hasn't started yet. So, okay, that's interesting. That is interesting, isn't it? That far into the war, mid-May 1940, the war starts in September 39. And months and months and months go by before Churchill and Bomber Harris decide to actually bomb the Germans for the first time. Okay, that's interesting. Something Wickedly, Superfan Shona says, Kate wears what she's told will be a burqa next. I don't know, maybe. Or not a burqa, I doubt it. I don't know if she does wear what she's told. Maybe she does. I would have thought she'd certainly have stylists. There's no question about that. I thought that pantsuit looked all right. Nothing wrong with a little bit of flares on a lady. She carried it off, didn't she? She pulled it off, that look, I thought. When you've got bone structure like Catherine Middleton, it's difficult to look bad. I've got to stop simping. Just to be clear, my simping for Kate Middleton is ironic. It is tongue-in-cheek. I mean, she's a pretty lady. I'm not questioning that, but... All right, stop simping for Kate. Got it. Shona also says, phone a taxi, say you have a dog, no M driver. What? Do you know what that, what's that, what's she saying there, Harry? Did you get that? Phone a taxi, say you have a dog, no M driver. What's M driver? Sorry, I don't know. I'm sorry, maybe it's really obvious what you're saying there. I don't get it. No M driver. Okay. 14 Barber says, thanks anyway. 14 Barber says, morning, Bo, all right? Yeah, I'm all right, mate. You all right? I hope you are. You say, I went to check out my friend and fellow barber's new barber shop, Celtic Cuts Barbers. Highly recommend for anyone in mid-Cornwall. Right, if you're in Cornwall, if you're in mid-Cornwall, don't get your hair cut at a foreign place. Go to Celtic Cuts Barbers. Yeah, do it. It's endorsed by that Bodade fella off of Lotus Eaters. So what more do you need? What more do you need to know? Shona said, Ed, Ange and Andy, threesome madder than just two. Don't, please. Please. I haven't had any breakfast yet. My stomach's empty. That's not going to... Okay. Shona again said, my mood is not honest. Takia. Yeah. Takia, however you pronounce that. That Muslim tactic of pretending you're not like a hard, hardline Islamist in order to infiltrate your enemies better, more efficiently. Yeah. Okay. Brute Life 2314 says, at least all the people running for PM this week are British. More right-wing than the Tories. Loving the content, Bo. I love BBC. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Brute Life. Appreciate that. And you're right. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, thanks that. Cheers. Appreciate it. Appreciate it. Bill Wilson, 1225, says, why does Lammy not simply eat the other contenders? Right. Why not? What's stopping him? two more from Shona say, go back to folk who don't need the money as MPs. Okay. And the other one is, Rent Boys was a Schlieffen plan. We'll have to find out what's going on with that. Surely, well, not surely, I was going to say, surely they can't have put a full-blown D notice on it, D order. I always forget what the actual phrasing is, when you're legally not allowed to report on it. Is it that sensitive? Is it really? Doesn't seem right. But that is a Schlieffen plan. A giant left hook from our enemies. A giant left hook from Ukraine to burn down Keir Starmer's car. Okay. Noble Johnny Kelly says, morning, Bo. Morning. Have you heard of James of Queensbury? He had become famous as the cannibalistic idiot after an incident in 1707. James was left alone in his cell at Holyrood Palace by guards. That only vaguely rings a bell for me. It does ring a bell, but I can't know if I... Cannibalistic idiot. Did he meet... I can't remember. It sounds really interesting, though. I'll look it up. That's exactly the sort of thing I'd like to spend... I would spend my little bit of spare time having a quick read about that. Rings a bell. Okay. Shona again says, I never declare any 5 mil I get. Yeah. Yeah, put it straight in the Swiss bank account. Straight in the Caymans. Every time I get given 5 million quid, that's what I do. Yeah. Okay, Noble Johnny Kelly again says, James escaped. This is James of Queensbury again, the cannibalistic idiot. I say you're talking about. James escaped and went into the kitchen where he found a cook's boy turning a spit. He seized and killed the boy, then he impaled him on the spit and roasted him before the fire. That does ring some sort of bell with me, but... Well, okay. History is filled with such crazy things, isn't it? If it's even true. Imagine doing that, though. And then ate him. Interesting. I will Google that later. Okay. Mr. Molotov, superfan. Funny on Twitter. He says, off-topic question. Which was more based? First Roman triumvirate or second? Huh. which is not based. This is a classic history nerd fan, history nerd question. Right, well, so the first triumvirate, what is that? That's Crassus, Caesar, and Pompey, isn't it? Pretty based. Then what, the second triumvirate's Octavian, Augustus, Mark Antony, and Lepidus. I feel like the first triumvirate is more based. Whatever that means in ancient Roman history. I'm going to say first triumvirate. I don't think Antony's particularly based. Maybe you could make the argument. It was a bit of a degenerate. If you believe the Mark Antony propaganda. I'm going to say the first triumvirate. Okay, again, could break that down. Make a 2-hour piece of content talking about that. Good question. Thank you. Our Rob or Ross says, in Burnham's potential seat, the Greens won every ward last week and would likely win the by-election. Yeah, good point. Yeah. So in that seat, Afzal Khan, yeah, the Greens swept up at the local elections. Very good point. I should have said that in the main show. Very good point. Thank you. And yeah, if you extrapolate that out to if there was a by-election for the parliamentary seat there, which isn't necessarily the case at all, but if you did do that, yeah, the Greens would win it easily. Easily. So is that a quote-unquote safe seat for Burnham? No, not at all, not really. Yeah. And you can only imagine because of those local election results, Greens would try really hard there to scupper Burnham. Oh, it'd be so funny. That would be so funny if Burnham was allowed to run for a by-election and lost. Oh, my giddy aunt. I might actually buy a bottle of champagne. Genuinely, really. And crack it open. That would be hilarious. Okay. Shona again says, Somali pirate appointed border czar for the win. What, here? A border czar here? Or in America? Okay. Kick you in the throat. That's their name. At Kick You in the Throat says, fun fact, England is roughly the size of Alabama with roughly 20% more coastline. That's interesting, yeah. Yeah. In Britain, the Isles of Great Britain aren't that, it's not that big. It's not that big. You're only ever something that's 70 or 80 odd miles from the coast. You go to the very, very heart of England, geographically, as the crow flies, the furthest away from the sea, and you're still only something like 70 or 80 odd miles from the sea at any given moment. It's not a very big island, really, in the scheme of things. One of the highest density population densities in the world. We've got a little bit of green belt left, a little bit of open countryside and stuff, a few moors. But if we're not careful, it will turn into Coruscant. Like the whole island is one big suburb, city and suburb. I can see in a few centuries' time, that's the case. The whole of this island is one big city. I don't want that. I don't want that. I don't want my country flooded with people. Why should we? Okay. Tatum2733 says, who would you prefer, Low MP or Boadicea as Queen? Do you think I've got long-form content about Roman Britain? On Bode's Epochs, my history theme show behind the paywall. Do consider joining for as little as £5 a month, bronze tier membership, lotuscetus.com. Hundreds and hundreds of hours of history-themed content, me talking about history. Do you reckon there's a few videos there, more than one, of me talking about Roman Britain? What do you reckon? Yeah? No? Well, yes, there is, yeah. Talk all about Boadicea's revolt. I pronounce it Boadicea. I've got no truck with all this Boudica nonsense. Oh no, I was raised as Boadicea. Boudica. Queen Boadicea. Her or Rupert Lowe? Well, her. She was a total badass. She was pretty much a complete badass. Not that I haven't got full confidence in Rupert Lowe's sort of political, like, stamina, his will. But I think I feel like Boadicea would get S done real quick. Yeah, so I go for that. Boadicea's not mucking about. She's playing for keeps. Okay, another one from Shona. Oliver Reed as Achilles. Fight him in his day. Oliver Reed as Achilles. I don't know if you're just suggesting that or whether he did at some point play Achilles in some old 60s or 70s thing. I've not seen that one if he did. Could work. A young Oliver Reed was could be reasonably intimidating, couldn't he? I would want some giant hulking dude, like super, super buff and ripped, but a good actor. Is there such a thing? Is there such a thing as well, I was going to say Arnie, like a young Arnie, but Arnie was never a great actor, was he? Like really, really great. But back in his day, someone like Arnie, that would work. Someone like Sly Stallone, circa Rambo 2 era. That's what you want. Sly, when he was at his biggest, when his neck came straight out from the bottom of his ears. Rambo 2, Rambo 3 era Sly. That's what it should be. Not Ellen Page. Ellen Page. Ridiculous. Ridiculous thing. All right. Barton Bella says, Lewis unsolved life deletion mystery is fascinating. Lewis unsolved life deletion mystery is fascinating. I don't know what... I'm sorry, I don't know. You've lost me there, I'm afraid. Lewis unsolved... I don't get it, sorry. Thanks for the super chat, though. Again, whenever I don't get these, I sort of feel like it's kind of obvious what you're saying and I'm just being dumb, but... Okay. Varulk231 says... Can you accept Cyclops, witches and sea monsters, but you don't accept a 2021 BMW 5 Series 530i with optional heated seating? Why are you so bigoted? That's tickled me. A 2021 BMW 5 Series. Why am I finding that so funny? So specific. I think because it's so specific. Right. NPC BS3PM says, what would happen if the right wing of the UK, while in power, pushed the king to make the king's speech his own? I am not joking. What, so the right, imagine that some sort of right-wing party got in and then said to King Charles, you write your own speech, use your own words. Whatever you say, we as your government will just do any of it. It's not a good idea. I don't want that. You're saying what would happen if? I mean, well, it would be a disaster because he's a moron. He's a crazy globalist, sort of traitorous, crypto-lefty moron. King Charles, sausage fingers, Zach Coburg-Gotha. We wouldn't want to do that. In Bowes Britain, if I somehow magically found myself Lord Protector, there was still a king. Let's say, sorry, not Lord Protector. There was still a king and I was just Prime Minister with a massive majority. I wouldn't do anything like that. I might even pass some legislation to curtail the king further, the monarch further. Muzzle them further. I don't really want you speaking about anything political or anything really at all. Sit in your palace and be willed out when we will you out and say what we tell you to say. I don't want to hear about your environmentalism from you. I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to hear about equality and stuff from the king. Just pipe down and be quiet. And when we need you to read a speech, our words, you can do that. Otherwise, shtum. That's my feeling on it. Okay, and the last one, is this the last one? Yep, okay, last one's from Noble Johnny Caddy again, says, yes, Bo, it is true. I learned of an old historical happenstance while reading Douglas Murray's Bosie, The Tragic Life of Lord Alfred Douglas. I don't know exactly what you're agreeing with me that it is true. But Bosie, is that The Tragic Life of Lord Alfred Douglas? Was that the lover, the gay lover of Oscar Wilde? Is that who that was? Sorry if I'm completely wrong, if I'm completely off the mark. This is all just... Is that who that was? Douglas Murray wrote... If it is. Douglas Murray wrote a whole book about that. Of course he did. The strange career of Douglas Murray. All right. We've had two more Rumble Rants come in. Shall I read those? Why not? I'm in no rush today. Two more have come in. Ryan Hinnigan says, American asking about British civics. If Starmer calls a snap election, does the next election still happen in 2029, or do you guys wait another 5 years for the next one? I believe that's the case, yeah. That the 5 years sort of reset. I believe that's the case. I might be wrong. The rules were changed relatively recently under Cameron. I say relatively recently, like 10, 15 years ago. Cameron changed the rules. I believe there's like a set period. So after the next general election, they can call one earlier if they want, but after there's a general election, whenever that is, you've then got 5 years going forward from that point. Again, they can call one earlier if they want, but I believe that's how it works now. Yeah, I believe that's how it works. I might be wrong. Correct me if I'm wrong on that. I should know for sure. I'm sort of 80% confident, 90% confident of that. Okay, and the last one, the very last one, JC Warlock. Another super fan, thank you, sir. Says, or madam, I don't know if you're a man or woman. Says, why does the king have such a hard on for Islam? It's a valid question, isn't it? Is it because he knocked off Dodie and Diana? Also, Loch Ness Castle. We also mentioned Loch Ness Castle thing. The Dodie and Diana deaths. I think all the various investigations concluded that it was just a journalist that was the journalists chasing their Mercedes through Paris that night, and that their driver was really drunk. I know you're only sort of mucking about, half joking, but wasn't their driver shown to be not just a bit drunk? He was like massively drunk, wasn't it? If I recall rightly. Like, he was like many times over the legal driving limit. He was completely sloshed. Anyway, I think you're only largely mucking about. All right, that's the show. It's now 31 minutes past 9 in the AM, British Summer Time. On Thursday, the 14th of May, in the year of our Lord 2026, you've been the glorious band, the chosen few. Thank you for watching. Really, genuinely, without you, it isn't a thing. Thank you. Try and make the best of the day ahead. You know, carpe diem. Seize the day. Try and make it count. You'll never have this day again. You've got a finite number of these days on this earth. If you can, try and do something valuable with your time. All right, I won't get too preachy about it. Until tomorrow morning, take care.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.